Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, aka Chattagooner, and tonight we have a full house. And one of us is eating dots, which is, I'm sorry to say, Halloween trash candy. I'm sorry.
Arguably the best candy besides Swedish fish.
Well, oh my God. And somebody else has fudge. Todd, do you have any candy?
I have no candy.
Was that Scottish
fudge?
Scottish fudge.
Yes. Are the Scots known for their fudge?
I don't believe so.
Well, the traditional one is made of Scottish ingredients.
The traditional Scottish fudge, which is made with sheep's intestines.
It's crap.
What is that?
I got a big old gift package sent to me. Yeah, it's their traditional shortbread. Yeah.
Okay, traditional shortbread. All right, well, you just heard Shelly. So Shelly's here, Shabby's here, and Todd is here. They're all, two of them, well, one of them is eating candy, stealing from their children. Shelly got some Gaelic or Celtic stuff, and Todd is sitting in front of the map of the United States, hiding, as we found out earlier, before we started recording, hiding his very large tribute room to Twilight. So
Team Edward.
All right.
All that glitters in life may not be gold, but it might be a colon.
Stop it. I'm just going to say this. I said this before we started recording. I'm going to say it now for the good of everyone, for both of you listening. Vampires do not sparkle. They don't.
That's a garbage take.
Yeah, no. You're wrong, and they'll let you sit there in your wrongness.
Yeah. No.
So there you go. You're either Team Jim and vampires do not sparkle, or you're Team Todd and they are sparkly, and that's just part of their beauty.
Mm-hmm. Anyone can sparkle if they want to. I mean, really, why are you hating on people that wish to sparkle? You are showing sparkle bigotry.
I'm not sparkle shaming. I'm just, what is that?
It's a unicorn pen.
Okay, again, no one can see this. We're not doing a YouTube.
Well, one day when we get our vlog, everyone will see what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, clearly from this conversation and the conversation we had before we started recording, we don't have a whole lot to talk about because CFC hasn't played in a little while. We don't have a lot of news from out of CFC, although there's been some cool social media stuff they put out in advance of the semifinal on Sunday. But so we didn't have a game, but there were two quarterfinal games. And so let's talk about both of those. I don't think anybody watched them. Did any of us watch them? So that makes us eminently qualified to talk about them.
No, because remember, I am semi-stitious.
That's right. So Shelly is
not superstitious.
Semi-stitious.
I just watched the Twitter feed.
What's the superstition? If you watch the match,
yeah. What is this?
I don't understand.
I don't like to watch playoff matches that we aren't in when it's coming up with like who our opponents are.
I
don't want to have any kind of preconceived notions. I don't want to get my hopes up. So I just don't watch them.
I don't think that's a thing.
It is in my world. No, that's why I'm semi-stitious.
I don't think that's a verifiable superstition.
I think that qualifies as semi-stitious. Definitely not super, but no, semi.
It's just semi-stitious. Well, we've already proved you're wrong once already, Jim. So, I mean, you could be wrong twice in one podcast.
I could. Well, yeah, frequently am. Yeah, twice. Actually, just twice would be fine. If I'm only wrong twice. So, okay, the first match that we can talk about, since none of us watched it, is
Friday evening.
No. Friday. Were they both on Friday? Were the quarters on Friday?
No, yeah, they were both on Friday because one was just super late.
The 21st, yeah.
Yep, yeah, last Friday.
So Pulse and
Michigan Stars.
And the Michigan Stars played up in, I don't know, where did they play? I don't even know. Did they play in Romeo at the high school or did they play in their super sports complex with no stands?
Romeo. We're far out there, Romeo.
Okay.
Nobody knows where Romeo is.
Middle of nowhere. Like someone has the nerve to call that urban Detroit, but it's not.
No. Pontiac. Yeah.
Yeah. So they played and the Stars came out with a 2-0 victory. I understand. I've seen the goals. I've seen the first goal, which was off a corner and a headed goal, which, you know, they've got like, you know, a team of 11, 6-6, you know, guys. And they just throw them up and feed the ball in. And so they got a goal. And apparently, I don't know what they got. They scored a second. So they beat the Pulse 2-0. I think it's got to be a decent season for the Pulse, considering, you know, about halfway through the season, we thought they were just dead and buried.
I think it goes back to the fact that it was a brand new team. Guys had only been together in like less than a month. So, you know, when you're looking at coach of the year, you got to consider Foles for that, for what he did. And like, if you look at their record through the first like 2 months, like you said, they looked dead and buried. They didn't look like they had an answer to anything, but you know, we saw the difference between the first and the second time we played them. Right. I mean, they got definitely
marginally better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it also helped.
More organized.
It does help that they had 4 games against Flower City, but
that's fine. But I mean, even when we played them, they were far more organized by the second time we played them. And didn't look completely, you know, hapless. So actually,
I think it's a pretty impressive win based on the way Syracuse have been playing, that the Stars got a clean sheet and a 2-0 win. I mean, that's, you know, I think the Stars are coming in. They've got to be pretty, confident. And I mean, I know that we, you know, the last time we played them, it was 3-2, but they did not play a lot of their starters. They didn't play typically how they normally play. They played way more open. I don't think we're going to see that on Sunday, but we'll talk about that just in a minute. So the other semifinal was Albion and Maryland. You know, I've heard the Knights talk about this. The Knights who say Nisa talk about it on their pod. It was a good match that Albion simply took the chances they created, and Maryland was just not clinical. And so I'm not surprised that Albion comes out with a 2-0 win. I do think Albion's got a really good shot against Cal. They've been playing well. Cal has been kind of, you know, for the last couple of weeks. So I think Albion's got a really good shot. We'll start with your guys' predictions about the other semifinal game. Who do you think is going to come out of that semifinal? Knowing that if Cal wins, the winner of our semifinal has to go to Cal. But if Albion wins, the winner of our semifinal will host.
I mean, duh. But regardless, we were rooting for Albion over Cal United. I know I will definitely be cheering on Albion. The fact that it's the night before, too, that we're going to know the outcome on Saturday's match against Michigan Stars is interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's good or not, to be honest.
Do you think it'll change how our boys play, knowing it all?
I think it has the potential.
You have to see, I mean, if Albion wins and now it becomes not only are the boys fighting for a place in the final, but they're fighting for a home final match. It could apply a little pressure. I don't know if it's any more pressure than they're going to be feeling anyway in a semifinal. And I don't know after the first ball is kicked and the first time somebody rakes their spikes down your Achilles. I don't know if that it really matters anymore, but I mean, it could apply a little more pressure at the beginning of the game. Todd, you look like you were getting ready to say something.
Oh, no, I mean, I think that's a good kind of pressure, though, because if you know the result, you know what you have to do. You know what the outcome is. And you know what? And if Albion does pull what I'm going to call an upset, because I think when push comes to shove in a one-off match, I think Cal is the better team in this situation. Oh, yeah. I think possibly Albion is going to give them a good game. But I think, I got Cal winning that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they were not to, and Albion comes out a winner, and our boys know that going in, I'm good with that. I think any extra impetus to push forward for a home match in the championship game, that sounds good.
So Todd's got Cal. I picked Albion before the playoffs started, so I'll stick with that. Shabby, did you say who you thought would win?
I want Albion to win.
Albion and Shelley.
I want Albion to win as well. And honestly, I mean, I think Cal United is probably, I mean, they're more likely to win. However, like we said, if Albion keeps playing like they have been playing, and I think that maybe some of Cal United is that maybe they just assume it's just a given. Maybe that's why they're kind of slacking off a bit. I mean, it's possible. I mean, and I really hope that Albion does win because I like the idea of us hosting a final here.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario for absolutely all of humanity is a Michigan Albion match played at Romeo or pretty much anywhere in the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
Like that would be the end of NISA. With no
bleachers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the end of NISA. The
Michigan sports complex with, you know, 25 people watching. Yeah, that will be full NISA, and nobody, you never want to go full NISA.
So. Yeah, and the only ones watching will be Jung Kai's family.
I won't be. I'm not sure someone wouldn't be watching.
Well, because you know, 11 won't stream it, right?
Well, that's
true.
It'll crash. Twitter will keep up. They'll have to find a kid on a smartphone somewhere.
If there's a 11 feed of a Stars Albion final and nobody watches it, does it still crash?
Probably.
Yes. The answer to that question is yes, it does.
Just because of 11.
So let me be honest. In my heart of hearts, I want Albion to win. I want a home final against Albion. I think that would be the ultimate showdown, and I love it. I want it so bad I can taste it. But what I really think is going to happen is that Cal United's going to win, and we're going to have to go out there to play. Yeah. And it just hurts my heart.
Yep. But do you think they're in a crazy...
Think of that arrival if we go to Cal and win, and that arrival when the boys get back in town at the airport.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'll be so good.
But can you think of like a weird scenario where it's kind of like we paid to have them host here?
Let's get real.
Cal does draw. But they draw.
But there's been a whole bunch of drama with that soccer complex in the stadium. What's going to be hilarious is that Cal wins, they host, and they play it off on like field 17 of that complex because they can't play in the championship stadium because like a U9 tournament is there or something.
Oh, that'd be so sad. So they do have a nice stadium. I've been there. It is quite nice. But I also like the alternative universe of it's us against Cal United, and somehow they end up putting it here instead because we draw more.
Now, I don't want, you know, I mean, if Cal wins, then they've earned the right. Let us go out there and play. They've earned the right. You know, I don't want to be our
first final in California.
No, I've already looked at flights there and back in one day. It's doable.
No, we had a fight. Did we play?
That's what I said. We've had a final there before.
Oh, yeah. In 2010, right? 2010 was, I don't know, the Seoul?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe you're right.
Yeah. So that leads us into our game. We've got the Stars coming in. If you don't remember, we have played them 4 times. The first 2 times we played them at Finley, both 0-0 draws. The third time we played them at I don't remember where it, I don't know if it was at the high school. I think it was at the high school, and we drew again 0-0. And then the fourth game was the last game of the last game of the season. Really didn't, kind of a dead rubber match, really didn't mean anything. Like I said earlier, the Stars played they rotated their side. We played a fairly strong side, and CFC came out 3-2 winners with 2 goals, a brace from Brett Jones. And I don't remember who scored the other one. Didn't Marcus probably?
Nags.
Yeah. Huh? Nags. Yeah. Of course. Mm-hmm. Who else? So it was good. It was good to get Brett on the score sheet and maybe get him some confidence going into the playoffs. I will say this. What I remember, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, about the two match. There were, even though the first 3 matches were all 0-0, I do not think they were the same types of 0-0. So In our 2 matches, I would argue, and I should have gone back. I meant to go back and look at Jed's numbers because I think at this point he was still doing the XG. I'm pretty sure that the stats show that we controlled the game and really deserved something out of it more than a draw. Both the games at Finley, the game at And when we played in Michigan and drew, Michigan was way more proactive. They pressed more. They came at us more. They created a lot more. And that was much more of an even, if not maybe a tilted to Michigan battle. It was still ended up 0-0. I think playing, and all of that to say, I think playing in at Findlay on a bigger pitch at home is going to be the difference. And we will win it 2-1. So that's my take. I think the bigger pitch, it may take extra time. It may take extra time, but I think we win this. I'm going to say 2-1, but 2-0 wouldn't be completely surprising, because the two times Michigan played here before, they created next to nothing. And so I like our chances because we're playing at Findlay, because we're playing at a bigger pitch. They can't do as much of the condensing the field and kind of mucking up the midfield and do all that kind of stuff they could do at their small little football field up in Michigan. So that's my take. Todd, do you have different thoughts?
I don't really know about the score line, because score lines are so difficult, and it all depends on, you know, how many of your chances you finish. You know, we finish 2 out of 2 of your chances, or none out of 10 of your chances.
Yeah.
But I think as far as like tactically, when we talk about this and, you know, what, you know, Michigan's DNA is, as a counterattacking side, especially that's what they always show against us, is being very compact, very physical, content to let us have the ball. But this is a little bit different, right? Because to move on, you actually have to win. And to win, you actually have to score a goal. So unless you're planning on bunkering for 90 minutes plus, extra, 30 minutes of play and going for a draw, then that's going to mean that you got to come out of your shell just a little bit. And I think that's where we're going to be able to have our chances. So I'm going to look for them to come out and try to play a little more than we've seen them in the past. And I think that will prove to be to our advantage, because they've been so compact in those areas. And especially, like you said, up in Michigan, the field's already small, and to be able to do that, it just makes it even more difficult. And the dimensions of Findlay, that may play into it, but I think they are going to have to come out at some point. And I think when they do, I think that's going to loosen some things up enough for us to find some spaces. Now, we have to create spaces, and I've talked about this, right? We have to fight. We have to have those people willing to make the runs. If they come in and they do play really tight, we have got to be making those sacrificial runs just to try to loosen them up. Some balls over the top, balls in between, balls between the lines. But still, I think they're going to be a little more loose than normal.
Yeah, Shelley.
I don't know. I see it going one of two ways. I think it's going to be a close match no matter what. I'm almost thinking like it's either going to be a 2-1 or it's just going to be a 1-0 win to us. I really do think that we're going to come out with a victory. But I can also, just because it's Michigan and knowing how they play, and like Todd said, I mean, they normally play because they just want to draw. I guess in their eyes, that's they wanted to be in the playoffs this whole time. So they just kind of play it safe to the advantage of how they know. They use the normal tricks and it works out for them, 99% of the time. I could see them trying to play exactly like they have, knowing for a fact that if it goes to a draw, we're going to have to go into goal kicks. And yeah, so I could almost see them playing exactly. I know I can almost see them playing exactly like they have been and forcing it into overtime and it still be 0-0 and going into kicks. I can see that kind of being their tactic going out. I hope that they don't, because I think that if they know that they can't end like it always has been, and they're content with that, because they like to win, but they're not like over eager to win. If you look at all of their playing that they've done throughout the season, I could see them playing that tactic just because they know that it can work to their advantage. But I think that they are going to show more attacking than they have, and that's going to open them up for error, and that's going to work in our advantage.
Shabby, you got anything different than that?
Nope. Nothing new to add, but what Shelley just said is my nightmare scenario.
It's because it's, if it goes to penalty kicks, like all bets are off, right?
Yeah, flip of the coin.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody needs to prepare themselves for a bunkered Stars, at least in the first 45 minutes. Now, I could easily see the Stars coach saying, listen, we need to survive the first half. You know, we'll bunker. If we get to halftime nil-nil, then we have a second half. We can come out and play a little bit. I don't think they're going to come out and play immediately. I think they're going to try to, because I think CFC is going to want, because the first goal in this match means everything. Like Todd, you know, I say this all the time, that goals change games, but in this game particularly, the really first goal is going to mean everything, because if they get it, then it is 4-4. It is two banks of four for however much time is left.
I'll tell you what, I'd love to see one of those early, Marcus specials in the first 10 minutes of the game and get up on them.
Because it will completely change the way the rest of the match goes.
I mean, I want us to take it to these guys. Like, I mean, we've got some demons to exercise against this squad. I hate playing them. I think the players hate playing them. Mm-hmm. And I think we just need, and I will
say,
they
play dirty.
We are due just to wear them out one time.
Yeah.
I think this could be it. I don't know.
And for all that it's holy, can we please have some semi-competent reffing?
Don't worry about that.
If there's one constant, it's that the refs are consistently bad. So we can basically expect that, but that would also help us. And the thing is too, like, I'm always in favor of going up 2-0 or at least 2 over going into the half. That's where I like to be, because it makes me feel pretty good. It puts a good trajectory.
2-0 is the most dangerous lead in soccer.
It is. Exactly.
I'd rather be behind.
Oh, that's the most dangerous. I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I will say though, if we are up 2-0 at the half, I want the guys to still keep in their head that it's like we're at 0-0, and we need to keep playing
absolutely.
And keep running it up. So, because again, it's not that all of our previous matches didn't mean anything, but it means more now because we can't let off our steam. We can't let steam go even if we're up 2-0.
So I really,
and to that point, just that's another thing. And the boys have done a great job of this all year. And I credit this to Coach Rod and staff. Our emotions have stayed in check all year.
Yep.
So we can't, that's one thing that this Michigan team, they can draw it out of. We've seen it before, and we got to keep our emotions in check, regardless of the situation. Always understand the bigger picture. And, you know, I hate my little saying, you can't win with 10. So don't put yourself in that situation.
Yeah. I think Dixon and, you know, the leaders on the field are going to have to, you know, make sure that they keep the guys calm, that they remind people to settle down. It's going to get heated at some point, and it's just to get in, make sure that you separate the guys and don't let any foolishness happen. I do think that, you know, Todd, I think that we're going to want to come out really strong, really quick. And again, there's two things that I think we can apply a lot of pressure to them. That leaves us a little, like, we got to keep our heads though, because, you know, they can certainly counter, and we don't want to be pressing and then give up some cheap goal, which would just be, it'd be killer. Cause I think I said it before, the first goal in this game is going to mean a whole lot.
All right, Jim. So flip back to you. What's the key to this game for you? Give me one key.
The key to the game for me is scoring first and early. Yep. I mean, and that's
agreed.
The
100%.
Scoring first. I guess early would be great, but scoring first is a must. And if I were to have a kind of a second thing, it's kind of keep your shape, you know, do your job and trust the other guys to do their job. Don't get caught out. Don't go chasing the ball and leave space open. That's dangerous. And when the way we play and positional play, you gotta mark your space. And
I said one key.
I know. I gave you three.
One well, we key already is know Jim first. Doesn't follow the rules.
I don't follow the rules. Score first is by one key. The second is keep our heads together.
One A and one B.
One A is do your job and trust the guy to your left and right to do their job.
Exhibit A-1.
Yeah. I used an and, so I had a conjunction there. So it's all one. It's all one slash, point.
Slash, comma. It's a run on. Yeah.
So what's your one key to the game, Todd?
Sparkle.
We got to be brave.
What does that mean?
And well, I know it sounds like, what does that mean? I think we got to be brave in some of these moments, and I'm going to use a conjunction too, selfless. So we got to be willing to make those runs, and that run may not be rewarded, and you got to know that you're doing it for the next time, or the run in the other direction, or the space that you're creating behind you, right? So you're going to be feeling like you're making those runs for nothing. So it's going to be selfless, and that's what we got to be. But you know, but in those moments, like, we got to be brave and take our chances, man.
Yeah,
I tell you, one player, I don't know why, I just keep coming back to in my head is Taylor Gray. I mean, I think if he has a big game, I think we have a big night. Mm-hmm. He's a player that, I don't know, he just has a charisma about him. People love watching him. People feed off of his energy. The other players do. And when he's like just marauding down the sidelines, I think, and putting in some quality balls and getting some shots, I think that's a good sign that we're playing well.
He's a little crazy. And what I mean by that is he's a little like
a loose cannon. Is that what you're thinking?
No, he's not a loose cannon. One thing that scares the defense is somebody, he's just, there's just a little bit of chaos in his play that causes. So again, I've got to go back to Arsenal, and I mean, you probably don't remember this player, Todd, and I don't know if Shelly, because he was only at Arsenal for a very short period of time. It was Yaya Sanogo, and he was this kid, and he came in at near the end of Wenger's reign at Arsenal, and he would just go in. He had no idea what he was doing. I'm not saying Taylor doesn't, but he was like, you did not know where he was going to be. Sometimes he wasn't where he was supposed to be. So there's this little bit of chaos in Taylor's game that can
create. But that scares the hell out of defense.
Yes,
yeah.
That can.
But there's
create
also
problems.
But there's beauty in chaos. Yeah, there is. Good things happen.
So there's just a hint of chaos in Taylor's game that causes space and problems on other areas of the pitch. So it wouldn't surprise me if maybe Taylor doesn't score, but his run, his play is going to cause some instability in the back line and maybe create a chance for Marcus to put that goal in the net.
But I think specifically for Taylor, though, you know, we've seen like this year, there's been some times that he's been on, and in these moments in this game, if he gets the opportunity, you know, he's the one I'm thinking, you got to be brave and you got to take that chance and put it in the back of the net. Mm-hmm. And I think he will. I have every confidence that he will.
Yep.
Yeah, I hope they remember that we is better than me. That's kind of my thought. That's kind of, So, I mean, not only is we better than me, but we is, it's kind of like with the selfless thing, and like we is better, you know, bigger than me. Because the thing is that obviously the entire team has something to prove. They do. Between last match, between this season, previous seasons and things to prove. And I know that all of them want to be, it's easy to say, I want to have the glory. I want to be the one that has that game-winning goal, or I want to be the one who leads the team. But like Todd was saying, some of the most prolific players and moments during matches happen by the one that wasn't scoring the goal, by the one that was the supporter. So I just hope that they all remember that no matter who is scoring, every little piece of them together is better as a big puzzle of we than it's me being the one who actually made the score that made the match to win the game. So that's kind of what I hope they remember, is that regardless of who's putting it into the net, they all did the work to get it there. So they all collectively are going to shine no matter what.
And I think that's how we've played all season.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But when you're in a championship, it can be a little bit hard to just keep the eye on the prize of that. You know, you don't have to do something fancy or try to be,
but I'm
do
okay.
something crazy
I'm okay
to
if,
get there.
I'm okay if our forwards get a little greedy, but you know.
Well, yeah, you can get greedy, but don't do it. And the sacrifice you make causes something tragic to happen on our end.
Yep. So, Shabby, did you give your key? Have you given your key to the game? Your one?
Our keys
one
to the match.
My one key. No, so I want to press on what you said about not scoring early. I think scoring early is a key. Not just scoring first, but scoring early, because we want to get out there fast enough to surprise them, kind of a little shock and awe, and going in, put them on the defensive.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I guess as long as we're scoring first when we score early, like as long as they didn't score earlier,
Yeah.
No, but it sets the whole mood for the match.
Matter of fact, the 90th minute is early enough.
Yes, right.
As long as we're the first goal, I don't know what happens.
But think about those matches, though, where, like, right out the gate in, like, the first minute or 3 minutes, you know, we saw some crazy Nagelsmann goal. Like, it changes the trajectory of the game.
Yeah.
It but lifts it everybody up and it energizes in a way, you know?
It wouldn't bother me if they shithouse the entire second half, they time waste, and then the ref puts up those 6 minutes, and in the seventh minute of 6 minutes of stoppage time, we score a goal. I don't care how it goes in, that place would go nuts,
erupt.
So that's fine. Now the first 96 minutes, we would all be like, you know, popping Tums and Rolaids, but So yeah, fine. I don't care. I think we'd score first. If we score in the first minute, that'd be great. You know, kind of like we did in the Open Cup match. I mean, I'd take 3-1 right now over.
Yeah,
over the
I just start. Don't want to have a replay of Cal United at Cal United where we go up 2 right away and then it all crumbling down.
That's a good thing to bring up. I
don't want to see that happen again.
But we changed a little bit after that game, like, because in that game, I think the guys got a little greedy with that. We were up 2-0. They were still pressing for the
third
goal.
And we were up
2-0
fast.
Yeah, and we had chances for a third and several chances for a third. And we were still pressing, when they countered and scored their
– And Jim and I have different opinions about this, because I like the fact that we were up 2-0 in Cal and we're trying to – in regular season game and trying to put them to the sword.
No.
I like that.
No,
because
at that point,
if you'd have scored that third, it was over.
Yeah, but you got
over.
Against Cal, you're up 2-0. You consolidate to halftime, and then if you want to adjust, but you got to consolidate. I think they changed. I think we changed the shape a little bit, or we added in the double pivot for those times when we want to lock it down a little bit. And I think if we score first. And we will not go into a shell. We're not going to go into two banks of four, but I think you'll start to see us. Especially if we get a second goal, maybe not at 1-0, but if we get a second goal, I think you'll see us start to try to consolidate and shorten the game a little bit. So we're all picking we're all picking a CFC. A CFC victory, is that correct?
Of course.
Oh, yes, of course.
And then we just have to hope. Well, we'll know before, right?
Yeah.
Saturday night, if you want to stay up that late.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So again, Sunday, everybody get there. I've got some extra tickets if you want to hit me up on Twitter. I've been, kind of asking around if people need some tickets. I've got some for you.
I'm going to go to the interwebs right now and make a post to find out.
Okay. Yeah. Just if anybody needs them, just hit me up on the Twitter. And we've got a whole bunch of stuff. The club has been pushing out a lot of content and trying to get people excited about the semifinal. I think it's going to be a big crowd. I think we talked about this last time. We all said we hoped it'd be north of 4,000. So
yeah, 4 is the over under.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. I think we can get to 4,500. It'd be awesome. I know Jeremy's excited. I've texted him a little bit. And, it's just going to be a really good, hopefully, a really great night in Findlay. And then we'll just take it as it comes, and we'll see where we go. Anything else that you guys want to talk about while we're here?
I know. So just invite their friends, family, enemies, whoever. Invite them out, get them there, come to the tailgate beforehand, because we're going to have big merch sale. We're doing a big old potluck. We want people there.
In terms of what merch are you going to, what merch is there, Shelly? What do you want to push?
So we are going to be slashing prices of scarves. We have a brand new scarf this year.
I still don't have that.
Slash. Well, it's the perfect time for you, Jim.
Right.
So you, before you go into your bougie corner, just come on by that tailgate, or just tell me you need one and I'll sell it. And I can charge you whenever I see you in the stadium. But we're going to slash the prices of scarves. We've got t-shirts. We've got long sleeves, perfect for a chilly Sunday match because it might be, well, it is going to be a little cold from all the rain we've had. We have really awesome color changing cups. We've got sunglasses, which we'll still need during the match because it's before the sun goes down. Lots of stickers, really, really cool stickers. We did a full on run of our Pride Razor hooligan griffling or our Big C logo. So we got that.
Yeah.
One of the unsung heroes, not many people have been getting them. We have really awesome lapel pins. So if you like to wear them on your suit
cool.
and things like that, we've got really cool enamel lapel pins. So yeah, we've got, so we're going to be doing, just perfect time. So if there's been merch you've been thinking of getting, get them for the holidays for gifts already. So yeah, come on down. And so you don't have to bring food to come to the tailgate. You don't have to know anyone to come to the tailgate. Come find Shelly and I'll talk your ear off. So maybe I'll rope you in to help and set up some TIFO before.
And they did, the club did put out, there's a new scarf with
a signature scarf
where you could, I guess, that jersey numbers on one side where you can get signatures. I don't know when we're supposed to get those signatures.
I was going
to
say, do you think this means that maybe after the match, it'll be the first time since 2019 where they let fans on the field?
I love that. I've missed
that's
that
honestly
so
what
much.
I've been thinking ever since I saw that. I don't know if that will happen, but you know.
Yeah. I wonder why we haven't been doing that.
Well, it started because of COVID to begin with, because we couldn't have anyone on the field.
There's no reason to be doing it now.
But I think, well, COVID was the first reason. I don't know if it's because of like the pro thing, but honestly,
I don't know either.
But maybe I was thinking maybe that's why, like maybe they're going to do, or, you know, some kids will hang stuff down too, like the sign. But
well, I think, you know, whenever the season's over, maybe they're going to do some get together and if you have your scarf, you can get autographs and stuff there.
Well, there's the main by 24 parade that players that are here come.
Oh, that's right.
Sign it.
That's right. So right now, and we're a couple of days away, so weather in Chattanooga may change. But right now, there's a little bit of chance of rain. Well, that's earlier
mostly
in the day.
Mostly in the morning.
Mostly cloudy with temperatures in the low 60s, upper 50s, with a wind of about 8 to 10 miles an hour gusting to 25. So,
oh, poor Topher.
Yeah, no.
It's going to lean.
I feel
into
like
it.
I need to bring him a thermos of like a hot beverage and then water too.
So layers. People.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a little cold. I've got to go get some leggings to wear with my costume. Otherwise, I'm gonna be a frigid beer wench.
Go buy the shiny hoodie if you want to.
Or a long sleeve shirt at the hooligan tailgate.
That's right.
And we've got beanies too. Beanies, keep those heads warm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the taco truck is supposed to be there, but the picture tells me that it's not the Manganata taco truck. So
it's the El Boss.
Those tacos are delicious, though.
Yeah, but they're.
What if they had a Manganata?
They'd tell me it was too cold for them.
What if I just bring you a Manganata? What if there's one in the stadium club?
I know there is. So if you haven't already, there is an extra add-on. If you want to come go to the stadium club, you could, it's all you could eat and drink from 4:30 all the way through the first half. So I may just, you know, they'll probably have TVs in there. I may just sit in there and drink my nerves away, especially if we haven't scored. You may, in the second half, you may want to be around me because who knows what I'll say.
You're going to be going around saying you have the vapors. Just feeling that.
So, I don't know if they're sold out or not, but you could, there's that. There's also another experience like down at the end of the field?
Well, there's underneath the flagpoles.
Yeah, underneath the flagpoles.
And they've got that experience as well. I don't know. Have they sold out of both of those?
I don't know. You can check.
I'm going to be drumming on Sunday because my arm is better. So otherwise I was going to do it and just kind of come back and forth. But if I'm going to be drumming, it makes no sense to go. Like, how am I going to drink? Although I could just drum inside the stadium.
That's right. Just drum inside the stadium club. Provide some
That'd
atmosphere.
Be one way to get everyone to leave the stadium club because it's too loud.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else? Todd, you got anything? You look pensive.
Thinking about glittery vampires.
Glittery vampires.
Thinking about shimmering vampires.
Shimmering vampires.
Maybe that could be your costume for Sunday, Todd. You can be Edward Cullen.
You can be Edward Cullen.
Yeah.
That would be so cute. I will bring you the glitter.
Oh, I've got glitter. Yes. Oh, I've got CFC blue glitter. We can get you going.
If I didn't literally have a phobia of glitter.
You could do a glitter beard.
You despise glitter.
Oh my God.
It never goes away.
It's the herpes of the craft world.
It really is.
The what? What did you just say?
Herpes of the craft world.
Okay, that's what I thought you said.
I've never heard that, but that sounds accurate.
Yeah. It is accurate because once it's there, it never goes away. You will never ever really get rid of it.
In the north, a lot where we tailgate, every once in a while, over it's where the handicap parking is now, because that didn't always used to be that many handicap spots that were there. Because back in the day, we tailgated and put tents in the spots. One year for my birthday, they did a 10-pound glitter pinata for me.
Oh my God!
And it was glitter everywhere.
Well, if you're still listening, if you're still listening to this, you can send us the hashtag herpes with glitter. And just let us know that you've made it this far. So I'm going to put it in.
And now we know the title of today's episode.
No, that's
herpes. Herpes of the glitter is the herpes of the craft world.
Yes, yeah. That's. I mean, hey, you've learned. You can now turn the podcast off. You've learned something for the day. So if they want to hear more about herpes and glitter, Shelley, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at ShellyAirs82.
Shabby, what about you?
You will not find anything about herpes or glitter on my feed, but you can find me at Twitter at ShabbyBell, ShabbyBelle.
And Todd, the great footballer, shiny vampire, where can they find your musings?
Well, you can find some people's favorite Chattanooga podcaster and great footballer on Twitter.
Yeah, well, you could find me on the Twitter at Chattagooner. You can block me or mute me there if you need to. That's fine. We got a game, guys. We've got a semifinal at home against the Michigan Stars. What a great opportunity for the guys to go out and hopefully bring home the final. Depending on what goes on in California. Everybody needs to be there. It's going to be a great experience. I think it's going to be a big win for the club, and I'm really excited about it. So until we see you at Findlay at 5:00 on Sunday, go CFC.
You got a whole city behind you that loves you. Now get out there, you boys in blue, and give them hell. Go Blues. Oh, Mr. Oliveira, what a cheeky goal.